Typhoon, how did you handle a wild one in Bernie Vince when he first arrived at the Adelaide Crows footy club with this massive swagger?
Look after me, Tice, please.
He had an ego, I tell you.
Oh, and he still had.
This is The Bump, the one podcast SA footy fans need to hear, where the biggest names tackle the biggest South Australian footy stories. Roo, Limo, Dits, Bernie, Jars, Triple M's The Bump.
For all your landscaping, garden, building and paving needs, make sure it's Marion Sand and Metal, 917 Marion Road, Mitchell Park.
G'day everybody, welcome to The Bump. There's only two of us for grand final week, but before we start, Burn, a big shout out to our wonderful sponsor. For all your landscaping, garden, building and paving needs, make sure it's Marion Sand and Metal, 917 Marion Road, Mitchell Park. Yep. They've been great friends of ours on The Bump. So anyone out there, go to Marion Sand and Metal. You and I will just get the trailer, back it up and away we go.
Don't forget the trailer though, Jars.
Yeah, that's true.
He went there to get a trailer full of sand, and what did he forget?
I forgot the trailer.
The one thing you actually need, the trailer.
I went to the boys at Marion Sand and Metal and Marion. Welcome to you, young man.
Yes.
It's just the two of us because obviously the other boys are on holidays.
Well, it's grand final week and big players stand up grand final week. And that's why they've asked us to continue. The others have said, you know what, don't bother.
Roo didn't get a touch in the grand final in 98. Dits passed out and playing squash against Jahangir Khan.
Yeah, couldn't quite get out.
And Limo scared little outside wingman back in the under 11s for Adelaide Uni.
No surprises, just us two.
What a week so far.
Well,
led by Ollie Wines.
Yeah, that was
who took out, as we all know, the Brownlow medal, equal highest votes in a single season ever. Mate, did he have one of the best footy seasons this year, do you think?
He did. He thoroughly deserved. As you said, broke all the records. Equal highest amount of votes. There were three players for the first time ever over 30 votes. Such a high count.
Wasn't it?
The best players these days, Jars. Geez, they get a lot of votes.
Was that one of the better counts you've seen for a period of time?
Yeah, it come down right to the last bit. It looked like sort of about 15 or 16 rounds through. Yep. I was thinking, hang on, Clayton Oliver is right up there. I know he finished the season really well, but then didn't poll in a couple of games that we thought he might have. And thoroughly deserved. Triple MVP winner as well, nice. Ollie Wines. So won the stations here, best player in the whole league as well. So thoroughly deserved. Took out a few of the individual honours. But the only thing, and he spoke really well at the Brownlow
Medal. Very humble, wasn't he?
He just wants a premiership now. He'd swap that. He'd swap that with the Bont right now. I know the Bont came second. He'd swap that just for an opportunity to win. Even if the Dogs don't win, he would swap that for his life going in there.
And there's no guarantees next year for Port Adelaide.
No, there's not. And, they've been
you look
the
what's happened at Dangerfield at Geelong.
He can drop right away.
Yeah, won a Brownlow. And now all he wants is that. They are so hard to get into. But he's been a wonderful player. And he's had his criticism along the way. He's had his off-field issues, Ollie. But he's 26 now, water skiing.
Hurt his shoulder.
Was the club captain. They took that away from him. But now he's matured into a beautiful player and basically the heart and soul of the club now, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. And maybe that was a good thing, taking the captaincy away. Because that comes with, in a two-team town, and a big footy town, everyone loves their footy in Adelaide, it comes with its other responsibilities as well. Functions, and you got to talk, and you got to represent the footy club at all different things. So maybe that just freed him up mentally, not so much physically, but mentally, and just allowed him just to... And I hate the saying, it allows him to concentrate on his footy. No, it doesn't allow him to concentrate on footy because everyone does that anyway, no matter how busy they are. But it just frees him up mentally.
Yeah. Absolutely. And Trav Boak, he polled...
he went well, didn't he?
Very well.
25 votes, I think.
And he won the Jim Steins Award, which is prestigious in the AFL for his work in the community, and Trav Boak with his childhood cancer. I love
He's a great man, isn't he?
I just love him. I just love the way he conducts himself, and he's just a pure, classy individual.
Prestigious award named after one of the great men in football.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jim Stein's done so much for that Melbourne Footy Club. Obviously, being there, I realise how high a regard they have for that man and what he did for the footy club. So, it's certainly a great honour for Travis Boak.
Burn, Port Adelaide, are they close to losing assistant coach Michael Voss to Carlton? There'll be some news about this decision in the next 48 hours to be the next Carlton senior coach out there. Now, look, Clarko's said no, and we heard Clarko on 360.
Well, here he is, Jars.
No, listen, I spoke to Cookie over the weekend, and I appreciated the call and enormously respectful of the process that they're going through, but I'm sticking to what I said, you know, 6 or 8 weeks ago, that I need a spell. I've only got 2 gears. That's flat out or stop. I'm just not ready to go flat out again right now.
So there you go.
Yeah.
So no more speculating. Clarke wants time away from
the game.
They'll
continually speculate about him coaching and... Well, they might put it to bed for a few months and then it'll all start again halfway through next year and into the back end of next year about where he's going to go the following year until he puts it to bed or makes a decision. So there'll be a few nervous coaches out there, I reckon, Jars, halfway through next year if they're not going so well.
Port Adelaide put a call out to Clarke.
You reckon?
Yeah. Yep. Don't worry about that.
So you reckon if Ken Hinckley and Port Adelaide aren't going so well halfway through next year or they potentially... have a similar finals exit.
Because there's no guarantees.
You reckon they might go after Clarko?
Because he's going to be available. See, Carlton and Collingwood, they've done their dash because they're going to have, if they're going to appoint Michael Voss, it's a 3-year deal.
Don't sign for
so
one.
So any coach that's coming out of contract end of next year, I'm nervous unless I'm playing top 6 or top 8.
What about, so name me a couple of the nervous coaches that you potentially.
Brett Ratten. Clarko lives 5 minutes from Moorabbin.
It fits his. Yep. Family off field. Stewie Jew.
Both the senior coaches here.
Both the Adelaide
absolutely.
Coaches.
Nixie's only got a year to go, remaining on his contract.
Yep.
Stewie Jew. And you've got Nathan Buckley still lurking in the background at some stage. He'll put his hand up. So that's a good. See, Kenny's payout would be too much for Port Adelaide.
Yep.
You know, if they clipped him. But they've got to back in Kenny and they will give him another 12 months because Kenny's come out and said, we need to finish top 2.
Yep.
Didn't he?
He did, yeah.
So, but
what
anyway.
What about an Adam Simpson, West Coast? They've underperformed. They had a terrible year this year with not a bad list.
Yeah, there you go.
It's an aging list.
That's another one. Yep. It's not bad.
It's a team no one really talks about.
No, they don't, do they?
But I just feel like they underperformed this year.
Clarko and his wife will be sitting on the kitchen table with all these contracts.
They sit on the kitchen table, do they?
That one there's worth $2 million a year.
Why wouldn't they just sit in this lounge chair? Not on the kitchen table.
They're having a cup of tea, Bert.
Oh, yeah,
and he's having some scones.
On the table.
Anyway,
Roo's ringing me.
Oh, no.
Hello, Roo.
Bernard, how are you?
Yeah, we're recording the bump. We're on the bump.
We're on the bump. At least we're here doing it, idiot.
Where are you?
Clogs.
What do you want?
We're recording right now.
I just sent you a clip about Port.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, we're just talking about Port on the bump, you and Ditch should be here doing it.
Well, Jars just said.
Oh, I said I'd come, but I got sacked.
Oh, he's been moved on.
Oh, I don't want to say too much.
Speaking of getting sacked, Jars just said that Alistair Clarkson could be in line for the Adelaide coaching job if Nixie doesn't do well this next year. Thoughts on that?
He's coming.
Well, that means he won't be coming.
Oh. See you, Roo.
See ya.
And anyway, Jars, where's your plan B, you idiot?
Oh,
shut up!
Good point, Roo.
Don't, Roo. Don't, Roo.
What are you, one-trick pony?
No, there's no plan B.
Jesus, you're talking about chosen.
Oh,
93 prelim all over again.
Oh, don't go there.
No, nah, it's worse than that.
No, it's worse than that.
That was only 44 points or something.
57 points up. And don't be, you played in 93 as well. Where were you when I needed you?
I was on Buick kicking in for
No, don't take the blame. That was Charles' fault. See you, Root.
I stuffed up. See you, buddy. There he is, Mark Ricchetto, just checking in.
He didn't want to answer the Nixie question.
He didn't, did he? Anyway, so watch this now. Free trade, free agency rumours we're hearing. Jeremy Finlayson.
Yes.
Now, Peter Laddams has been told to go and look for explore.
Yep.
Burn. Is that to get him? To help Chuck Dixon.
Got 1 year left on his contract, Pete Laddam. So, and knocked back some opportunities only last year. Sydney Swans were all over Pete Laddams. Liked the look of him. Mm. Young, nice age demographic, they say, Jars.
Yes.
And I just think with the message they've given Pete Laddams, this means that they're into Jeremy Finlayson a bit more than what we think.
Okay.
We know he's had a medical and all that, and there was reported that he caught up with Rory Sloane that night as well.
Yeah.
So it's like, they're evening things out. But I think Port might be into him a lot more than what's been publicised anyway. They're only going off what they've told Pete Laddams. Yeah. You're not going to get rid of Pete Laddams, who's a forward, backup ruckman, quite good at it.
Yeah.
You're not going to get rid of him if you're not basically there with Finn Lason, are you? Because that'll make you look pretty silly. But Pete Latham's also has the opportunity to knock that back. He's got one year to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
He doesn't have to explore his options if he doesn't
Finn
want
it. And Finn Lason's had a medical down at Alberton. So we'll watch this space carefully. Now, the other lad that we need to talk about is young Jordan Dawson from the Sydney Swans, who wants to return back to South Australia. Look, the intel that I received is he's picked Adelaide.
Yeah.
Right. He has picked Adelaide, but that may change. You know, he's toured Port Adelaide. He's been to dinner with some of the Crows boys. He's caught up with some of the Port boys. But at this stage, he has picked Adelaide as his preferred club. But as you know in this industry, Byrne,
yes,
that could change.
That changes very quickly. But he would get, I think the deal would be a lot better at Adelaide in terms of years and amount of money. But in saying that, you step into a Port Adelaide side, have been in the last two prelims, favourite to win a prelim, both prelims actually. Do you want to step in straight away to success, or do you want to build it up from the bottom?
Yeah, that's
his choice.
All right, Byrne, let's go to the phone. He's been waiting on the phone, a very dear friend of ours. He's a superstar for Port Adelaide. Let's say hello to Chatty Corns, who played in that wonderful 2004 grand final. Well, he's one of my favourites.
Yes,
and his dad coached me, and they're a famous name in South Australia. We're going to talk to Chad Corns. Yes. We're going to reflect on the 2004 grand final. Port Adelaide ran amok.
Didn't they?
This man, he was Mr. Showtime. He joins us on the bump. G'day, Chad. Welcome.
Thank you, guys. Oh. Appreciate you having me.
Chad, just run us through the build-up and what the players this week would be feeling. Melbourne, long time between drinks. Port Adelaide, the week you're in it, they had never played in a grand final, obviously never won one. Just talk about the week and what it was like in Adelaide here.
Well, the week it started the week before for us leading into that prelim against St Kilda. That was the most pressure I'd ever felt in a game. I'd had a history of prelims sort of haunting me, going back to one year played in Jars when Dad was coaching.
Jars' fault too.
Did you miss a goal from about 5 metres out?
It was 20 metres out. It was 110 kilometre winds.
Well, Andrew Jarman, you'd really expect him to kick this. A shocking kick. Bruce Woodrin, one of the most efficient players in the competition, and he misses from 15 metres.
Hard to understand, isn't it? Hard to understand. Finals pressure, that's about all you could put it down to, Robbo. Yeah. He'd get out there on Tuesday night and he wouldn't miss one from that area of the ground.
No, I remember that was still to this day one of the most heartbroken, you know, myself and Kane were there in the stands watching
you were.
So that, and then in the rooms with you boys afterwards. And anyway, so the heartbreak of prelim sort of transferred its way to Port Adelaide after we lost a couple that, you know, that we might have should have won. So this 0-4 one, after we got over the line against St Kilda, there was more of a calmness in the grand final week for some strange reason. I thought, you know, after we got over that line, we knew Brisbane were a little banged up. You know, the pressure was sort of off us, as stupid as that sounds. So the week was brilliant. A lot of hype, obviously. And then you go over and do the parade, so that was a thrill in itself. The Friday training session was probably the worst we'd ever trained as a group.
Yeah.
The ball could not stay off the deck. Everyone was just pretty uptight in that moment, but Choco was really good about it. I remember him pulling us in and just having a laugh about it, told us to relax. And, you know, the game itself is a bit of a blur. You remember bits and pieces of it, but, you know, obviously a great thrill, and to be the first team to do it for the AFL, Port Adelaide was brilliant.
Hey, because 0-1, talk about build-ups and having a great little era, for Port Adelaide. 0-1, you finished top four, but you went straight sets. You finished minor premiers 0-2, 0-3 and 0-4. So that's part of the relief you're talking about of actually getting in it and then winning it.
Yeah, so 0-2, you know, credit to Brisbane. They deserved the three they won. But 0-2 was a year where I thought we were really prepared and set up to go further than we did. And that first final you lose against Collingwood, come out the next week and beat Brisbane, beat Essendon, and then lose to Brisbane there in a prelim. And the following year, that first loss against Sydney in that final was one of those games where I just remember the Port fans being really, really angry. Like you actually couldn't leave your house, you know, for a few days afterwards, because every time you did, you just got abused, and understandably so. So a lot of wasted chances in those early years. So, like I said, you know, we won the first one against Geelong in 04 quite easily, but that prelim against St Kilda was the most pressure I've ever felt in a game and the least enjoyable game I've ever played in, and probably one of the worst I've ever played personally. Nick Riewoldt absolutely destroyed me. So, really happy to get through. And then sort of my attention turned to the role on Jonathan Brown, which I knew I'd get early in the week. He was under a real injury cloud. So, I was waking up every day hoping he was going to get ruled out. He ended up playing. He obviously wasn't completely fit, but mate, just some really good memories.
And you're an antagonist, because that reminded me when you mentioned Jonathan Brown. The start of the game, you went down to his knee and you were punching it.
I think that gets exaggerated.
I think it does, Chad.
What do you mean exaggerated? I saw you punching his knee.
I sort of just leaned across. It was a bit of a love tap. Because right up until, you know, that first warm-up you do on ground, I wasn't sure if he was going to play. Yeah. So he obviously had a lot of pain-killing injections in that knee. I just gave it a bit of a love tap, asked him how it was, and we caught up since, and he reckoned he couldn't even feel that little tap because of the amount of painkiller injections he had in it. So, you know, Darryl Wakeman did a brilliant job on Lynch.
Yep.
I think kept him goalless, and then the same with Brownie. He didn't have much influence just because of the duress he was under. So,
boys played their role, didn't they, buddy? Because you were 77,000 at the MCG. You were second half, you dominated. You kicked 11 goals to their 1-4. But half-time, Brisbane Lions were a point up. What did Choco say in the change rooms just before you ran out, knowing that the third quarter, this is it?
Yeah, it might sound a little bit arrogant, but he was just reinforcing that we've got them exactly where we want.
Right.
You know, like I spoke about before, they're an older team. They were banged up. You know, Brownie wasn't the only guy with under an injury cloud. Vossi was really sore, and others were too. So we believed as a group, if we were anywhere, you know, within striking distance at halftime, that we would be able to overrun them. So, you know, you spoke about guys just playing their role, which you know, you take yourself back to, you know, Kari, Hardwick, and then probably one of my favourite games Kane ever played was that job he did on Simon Black in that game. That was just outstanding. So, yeah, it sounds boring, but it was one of those games that, you know, sort of everyone that played did play their role and have some sort of influence.
Yeah, Simon Black, I think coming off the Norm Smith the year before, so played a huge role. Hey, run us through the feeling, and I never got this feeling at AFL level, but the feeling, say at the 20-minute mark when you look around at your teammates, you know you're up by enough, they can't win. Just what was that feeling like?
Yeah, it was everything you imagine growing up, BV. Like we were far enough in front. I think Adam Kingsley and Stuart Gold kicked goals later in that last quarter, which sort of put the game beyond doubt. And I remember turning around to our cheer squad, just having a little celebration with them. And then you try and take as much in as you can in those last 5 minutes. You know, the siren goes and you immediately look for Kane so you can enjoy that moment with him. And, you know, from then on, it's a little bit of a blur. It was more of a feeling of relief after that siren went. BV, you'll be disappointed. The celebrations weren't quite what I had envisaged and hoped for.
Not what I would have seen either. They might not have found me if we had ever won one.
Did they find you, Chad, in the celebrations?
Mate, I was very, very tame for some reason. I had a girlfriend at the time that I was pretty taken by. And to be honest, the club, and this might sound arrogant as well, the club just didn't organise it well at all, you know, the celebrations the following week. So they tried to make up for that in 07, and you'll be happy to know I probably was best on ground the week after that disaster of 07, so I tried to make a little bit of amends there.
Hey, what about the ticket allocation at the moment? Because they actually make it pretty hard for players. You don't get too many tickets. You don't want to be focusing on that either, grand final week. You want to be focusing on the game. And, well, you mentioned your girlfriend before. What one was that at the time? You went through, you had a few.
Oh, hang on.
No, that was the McLeod's daughter's one.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Rachel.
So, yeah, tickets were, you know, I was just like in the lead up to knowing that I was doing this interview with you guys, you go back and reflect on some old photos, and all of my good mates that wanted to get there, you know, eventually did. So you sort of find a way. Probably you find 10 to 15 tickets somehow, but it is a real stress. You're right, like at the start of that week, you're as focused on getting your mates tickets and family tickets as you are in the game. So, but all in all, worked out well.
Chatting with Port champ Chatty Corns, reflecting on the 2004 Grand Final. Port Adelaide outstanding. And Chad, you must be proud of your boy Ollie Wines. Won the Brownlow medal, and what a year he's had. And obviously the boys are still trying to work out what the hell happened in terms of in the finals there.
Yeah. You know, I just got told before, I didn't even know this was a record, that he broke my record for the most Brownlow votes from a Port player. So a little flat about that.
Only by 14.
He pantsed you. Chad, he pantsed you.
What a year, didn't he? He polled like 10 out of the last 11 games, which is just outstanding. Incredible. So consistent. Really led the midfield well, and you know he has taken his game to new levels with the way he uses the ball, hits the scoreboard more, and he's become a really, really good leader. So happy for him, and to be the first player to do it for the Power is outstanding. Well,
we
puts a bit of a positive spin on what has been not a great couple of weeks.
Hey, we call a lot of the Port Adelaide games, and we love seeing you out there on the ground doing still the running, barking orders.
Yeah, but Chad,
I could just tell he wants to take his shirt
just
off.
Play,
and he's always looking in good shape. Nah, but do you have any favourites? Like, do you have a? You might not want to say this.
What do you mean,
favourite players that he tends to lean towards? Oh. No. Just likes, Jars. Likes.
No, well, Robbie Gray, obviously good mates with him. He was, playing while I was as well. So you get that connection early on. He is my favourite Port player of all time. To see him and Travis again miss out, two players that really do deserve the ultimate success it was just another reason why it was so disappointing the way the boys finished up. But, I closely worked with the forward line, so you're obviously keeping a really close eye on them on game day. So anytime, the forward line's functioning well and those guys are playing well, it makes you feel pretty happy watching from the sideline.
Hey, can you flick us through your training program and your weights program? Because I'd never look like the way you look like now.
I used to.
Oh, you didn't. Do you just train as much as the boys do in the weights room? What's going on there?
Well, that's one of the perks about being involved in a footy club is you can join in when the boys are working out. It is a passion of mine. It always has been. Dad had a little setup at his garage from a really early age. I remember from about 12 onwards I was lifting weights. It took a long time to develop any sort of, as Phil, the great Phil Walsh used to call it, an AFL body.
I never got there.
I don't really have a program anymore. I just sort of go in there whatever you feel like doing that day, that's what you do.
Chad, before we let you go, fatherhood, you're loving every minute of it. And how's the little one going?
Yeah, she's brilliant. Brilliant, mate. She's a really happy, smiley baby. It is everything you imagine. Yeah. Like it's taken me a while. I was just really scared about having a kid because I always used to think about what could go wrong and those kind of things. But so glad we've done it. And it's just brilliant, as you guys know.
Mate, congratulations on a great career and chatting with us here on The Bump. All the best, mate, and we'll catch up soon.
Thank you, guys. Like I said, appreciate you having me. Cheers.
There you go. Thanks, Chatty Corns.
There's a star.
Loved him.
Did
great,
everything.
Just passionate. Loved playing for his mates and his football club, and terrific young man too.
Great man.
There you go. Chatty Corns on The Bump. And also Tyson Edwards from the Adelaide Crows will chat with us about, he's back-to-back premierships.
One of my favourites.
He is too, isn't he?
Yep, love him.
You haunted his little kiddies too down there, didn't you?
Well, I used to have a bit of a kick in the blue room at Footy Park. Beautiful. And every now and then they'd end up in tears. We might ask him about that. Hey, Jars, did you know you can create the perfect lawn with Marion Sand and Metal?
Ooh.
You listen to this.
I like this.
Loams, soil, fertilisers, Lawn Stars, it's all there. Marion Sand and Metal, 917 Marion Road, Mitchell Park. Open 7 days.
Adelaide Crows. Now, let's talk about the Adelaide Crows. You're listening to The Bump, just Bernie Vince and yours truly. The other boys are on holidays, even though Roo's just piped in.
Yeah.
Rory Laird polled, for the Adelaide Crows, 16 votes.
Yep.
Two-time All-Australian. At the age of 27, he's in his prime now, isn't he, Lairdy? So very proud of his performance this year.
Yeah, no, he had a super year. And it's amazing. He's gone from All-Australian halfback, two-time halfback, to potentially very close probably to being an All-Australian midfielder. So that adaption, that doesn't get A lot talked about a lot, but being able to go from half back, dominate there into the midfield and dominate. Like, not everyone can do that, Jars. And he's had a super last couple of years with Best and Ferris and the way he's dominated all Australian squad, probably a bit stiff. If Adelaide had won a few more games, certainly would have been in that. But can he win a Brownlow? Yes, I think
absolutely.
I think he can.
Yeah, my word.
At the age he is 27, and if Adelaide can just improve and, as I said, win a few more games, you see all the teams that had, you see Melbourne, the Bulldogs and Port Adelaide, they're the top three, all over 30. They all win a lot of games. They're the top three teams right there. So,
I have a small criticism of young Lairdy, just a small, is if he can work on his field kicking over summer.
And kick more goals.
And that's it.
Mm. Four
to centre.
Ollie Wines didn't kick a heap of goals this year and won it.
Yep.
I think that adds, I'm with you.
But I love the way he plays and he's adapted beautifully. So, and young Keys polled some reasonable votes. So the Adelaide Crows and Tex, our boy Tex, came out of the blocks.
Yep. Well, he should have got more early.
Well, I reckon.
He got one vote in a game. He kicked 6 goals, 3, had 15 possessions. Bloody Josh Kennedy had 27 disposals, no goals. He got 3. Tom Hickey had 9 touches and kicked 2 goals.
Yeah.
9 touches, 2 goals.
Hello.
Tex, 15 touches, six goals, 3.
Hello.
No, I know. I think we're just at least switching them around, and I'm taking him to the top, even though Sydney did win the game, but it wasn't that
three
big a
votes,
margin.
Taylor Walker.
Yes.
Now, how is the big boy? Will he start pre-season when the Crows get back in mid-November? What are you hearing? Or is he wait till after Christmas? And how's the relationships been with the ladies down there?
No, it's been good. He's I think the best to go into the Best and Fairest was a big thing.
Fantastic,
for him. The support he received by the fans.
Oh, and standing ovation.
He was worried about how he'd be received and the public and you know what the people he'd put off. But even on the weekend, I was at the grand final over at Yorktown, the CMS. There's a lot of Indigenous people there. They're coming up going, tell Tex we love him,
brilliant.
And, you know, like all this. So the support there is great.
Oh, mate, he's loved. I mean, we know he's loved. And we look forward to seeing him back in pre-season mode for the Adelaide Crows and firing on all cylinders next year. The other bit of mail going around, Luke Dunstan's been delisted by the St Kilda Football Club. Now, he nearly became a Crow. Is he someone that they'll target, the Adelaide Crows, being an Adelaide boy?
He nearly became a Crow last year with the Brad Crouch deal. When Brad Crouch was going to St Kilda, they were going to throw him as a bit of a sweetener.
Yeah.
Adelaide knocked it back.
So what's the knock on him then?
Like, just his probably leg speed and ball use. Isn't probably at a, you know, a high level, but his clearance and grunt work is outstanding and something that Adelaide could use off field.
You reckon he'd fit
in? He's gone up a little bit.
But you got Keys similar, Lairdy similar, Sloaney similar.
I was thinking his value might have gone up a little bit after this. Yep. It's 11 Brownlow votes last night. Pretty high up there for St Kilda. Yep. Jack Steele was their highest vote getter. Obviously, he was talking about one of the favourites, but I reckon he adds some value, even just as being delisted. You get him for free, delisted free agent.
Good
that's
depth
free.
Player. So good depth player.
Good SNFL. Just imagine him in the SNFL, Jazz. Yep. He'd dominate in there. Real contested style, the SNFL. So I think he'd be a great backup. He's not on the list now. You don't have to give anything up. Get him on the list, Roo.
No.
I might ring Roo back.
But he's just, okay. All right, Bump family, let's talk to one of the greats of the Adelaide Footy Club. I remember when he walked into the corridors of West Lakesburn and he was just a
full
lovely young man. He had a full head of hair. He had a beautiful smile, very shy young man. He's a two-time Adelaide Crows Premiership player, one of our greats. He joins us on the Bump, Tyson Edwards. Good afternoon, Tyson. Welcome.
Gentlemen, thank you. And I'm not sure it was a full head of hair. I had hair, but not. I wouldn't say it was full. It was a bit wispy, I would have called it.
Already thinning, was it, when you first walked in?
Yeah, I had two older brothers that I knew exactly the path I was going down very early on in my life. So it was a very easy transition.
Tice, grand final week. We're very excited. Saturday, we've got the Bulldogs and Melbourne, as we know. Now, 97-98. Back-to-back premierships for the Adelaide Crows. Now, as a young kid, that's just wildest dreams type stuff, isn't it? You just don't, you know, you think, I wish I could play in one, let alone win one. But can you just go back and share some of those great memories, 97, 98?
Yeah, well, I think I was 21 when we won the first one. And I think when you're that age, you just think it's going to happen every year. And that's pretty much what I thought. I thought, here we go, we're away. And we've won one, and then we did it again, and it was just going to be part of the yearly tradition that we'd be back there every year, and quickly learnt that it's damn difficult. And so it was great being young and getting a taste of it, and the it was just a whirlwind, to be perfectly honest. The first one, it was, you know, we weren't the best team as far as during the minor round season, but we were the best team in the finals, and that's really when it counts. And we had Blighty's obviously coach. He made a heap of changes, and Jars, unfortunately, was one of them, and heap of our senior boys.
It was the right decision.
Heap of our senior boys were moved on, and a lot of them unlucky, to be perfectly honest. But he wanted to come in and make his mark, and he certainly did that. And I guess he had the respect of the guys straight away, and we trusted him, and he'd done everything. And if he hadn't done it, he'd tell you that he'd done it anyway.
So
we backed him in, and he had a lot of finals experience. So when we got there, he had a plan. You know, he trained us really hard the 4 weeks out from the finals. So if we got there, we knew we were going to be really fit and run over the top of anyone. And when we got there, it was just, you know, 1 week after another, and it just seemed to happen. And it, you know, particularly that first one, it was just, it's hard to really put into words what it was like. It was, Adelaide was going crazy. Obviously, you know, Port and Adelaide, no one had won one yet. Hadn't been in the AFL that long. And, it was a fantastic experience, that's for sure.
Run us through that final series, because as you mentioned just then, you weren't the best team during the year, but you're the best team in the finals, because one of the years you actually lost the final quite convincingly as well, and you bounced back. Run us through just that feeling, that momentum you're on.
Yeah, the first one went a little bit smoother, the first 97. So we I don't know where we finished, fourth or fifth or something like that, and managed to win our way through, and I think we just sort of gained momentum and gained confidence as we were going. And the further we got into the final series, the less chance anyone from Melbourne, and it was really Melbourne against the rest. It's still a VFL competition,
yes,
we all know that. It was sort of a slight driver for us in the end, because when we got there, they didn't give us a chance at all, and we were fine with that. We were happy to run with that, and we knew we were fitter than anyone else. We trained really hard. We hit for the preparation for the 97 season. We started training the Monday after the AFL Grand Final. That was when pre-season started. So that wasn't at home. Yeah, it was yuck, right? It wasn't at home, you know, or away from the club training. It was, everyone was back on the Monday morning, the day, you know, the weekend after the Grand Final. So we had 11 weeks of pre-season, I think it was, or 10 and a half, whatever it was, before Christmas. And we did three lots of testing, the running tests. It was the, what did we do then? The 5 1K time trials. We had three lots of them before Christmas. So we'd done the work, and we knew, and then we had that block just before the final series. So we knew if we got there, we were going to be right. We had a pretty fit team. We didn't have our full team, but we had good momentum. We had some good kids coming through. We had some older guys there and a few in the middle. So we had a really good mix of players. And, grand final day when it came around, Blighty was probably the best coach for that group. He just let us play. It was a pretty simple game plan. There wasn't much to it. Everyone knew their roles. He had gave license to a few guys to do their own thing, and we trusted in what he said, and we let it rip.
I want to take you to the 20-minute mark in the last quarter for both grand finals, because you knew you were home. Run me through that feeling when you looked around at each other and go, we've actually done this. We've actually won a grand final. And then the first one, your first ever one, and then the second one, back to back.
Yeah, look, the first one, I do remember taking that moment. I was playing half back. I was pretty close with Brett James. He was playing back there at the time. And we just kicked a goal, and there's nothing better than kicking a goal as a team and then walking back, you know, slowly to your position at half back and having a look around and actually trying to take it in a little bit and knowing that you actually won. And you don't really know what to feel or what to do. And I looked at Brett James, and he gave me a little wink and a little smile. And you're actually literally trying to take in the moment, but it goes that quick that it's really hard to do that. And it's once again, it's a feeling. It's really hard to explain. I was young, so it was, you know, probably a little bit different when you're older, because you've got there's a lot of water that's gone on the bridge. A lot of work's gone into it. I only really came into the team because there was an injury in the first final, or a couple of injuries that we had. So I was, you know, sort of in and out of the team then. So, and then held my spot for the rest of the final series. But for some older guys that had been there a bit longer and, you know, had a fair bit more to do with the history of the footy club, it would have meant a fair bit more to them. But it was, it's an amazing feeling when you know you've got it, when the siren is about to go and you can try and enjoy it a little bit for sure.
Chatting with two-time Crows Premiership player Tyson Edwards on Grand Final week. Now, Malcolm Blight did some bizarre things on and off the field. What were some of his motivational messages and what were some of the bizarre things he did to get you boys up?
Well, I remember that you spoke earlier, Bern, about the one where we lost the first round of the final series, but then we finished fifth that year, and I don't know how the finals worked then, but we got the second chance. I think we were the lucky loser, whatever happened. And he wasn't happy, put it that way. We played Melbourne and lost and played really poorly. And this was trying to back up, obviously, the first year. So from that, I don't know whether we've ever trained much harder during an important block of the year, so to speak, right in the middle of final series. We were doing lots of one-on-one training after that. He was the grumpiest man I've ever seen. And he said, well, if we're going to go out like that, we're going to go out, you know, at least training hard. And if we're going to lose some troops in the training, then he's happy to do that. And I'd probably just harden us up a little bit. And he took a risk. He was a coach that wasn't scared to take a risk or change things. And, some of them, yep, were pretty out there, but some of them were, you look back now and think that's a pretty simple move that came off. But he thought a little bit differently to most. And I mean, he did some scary things off the field. He was the best coach to have when you were winning. He was the worst coach to have when you were losing, to be perfectly honest. He was a very angry loser and didn't take it well. And after that Melbourne game that second year, yeah, that was some of the hardest training we've done. And a few of us were taking a little bit of, sideways looks, thinking, are we actually really going to do this training? It was ball in the middle, two guys just running flat out at it, and go your hardest, boys, whoever wants it the most will win.
Good luck.
And, yeah, good luck. So it was an interesting sort of way to go about it. But it certainly kicked us into gear. And then we had to go to Sydney and play Sydney in the wet.
That's right.
Travelled up there and managed to get that done, and then had to go back to Melbourne again and obviously played the Bulldogs. I think we spoke them that year, and then we were back in the grand final again. So it worked out, but he had some interesting things, that's for sure. No, the great man.
Still got a vested interest in the AFL now. His son, Luke, over playing in Perth for West Coast. Must be enjoying his good start to his career.
Yeah, it's great. He's got an opportunity. That's what he wanted. And we were hoping he might get, a couple of games this year just to get a sniff of it and get a bit of a taste and get him, sort of really motivated for the preseason for next year coming. And yeah, he managed to get a go sort of halfway through the year. They had quite a few injuries, West Coast, and he got his chance. He did really well. He looked, pretty capable at the level, which composed. Is what you look for. And yeah, pretty composed. And we thought he would be okay because he's always loved playing the next level up all through his juniors. And, when you get to your first reserve game and then a league game, he always looked pretty comfortable and lifted to another level when he played those. But you never know until obviously in the AFL is different to any other competition. But no, he's absolutely loving getting looked after really well and loving his time.
I hope he puts his career down to all those times I kicked with him in the change rooms. Yeah, I kicked with all the kids.
I used to do sessions with the Henley
so
Oval.
Now. That's why they're so good now.
Uncle Andrew's always out there with
him. Used to knock them over a little bit too, toughen them up.
No, they did enjoy it. Back at the footy park days, the boys, I'll tell you what, after the game, the blue room, our warm-up room, God, they used to come out sweating bullets, the boys, when Benny Jarman was in there.
And that's it.
Jimmy Rowe was in there. There was a fair crew, and they used to go hammer and tongs. So they had a great time.
Foon, how did you handle a wild one in Bernie Vince when he first arrived at the Adelaide Crows footy club with this massive swagger?
Look after me, Tice, please.
He had an ego, I tell you.
And he still has. Nothing's changed.
Bull dust.
You fat head.
He fitted in really well, Bern. He was, I know he played a few sort of sample games and in and out a little bit to start with, but you could tell. I mean, I'm a bit like you, Jazz. I like players that can kick both sides, and have actually. And he was silky smooth at that, and I think he Mel Burn, without pumping up too much, he sort of grew another leg when the heat came on and when you needed someone to stand up, and he really matured over his journey. He was a fantastic player and was very disappointed to see him go.
Well, I'm still haven't got over the Crows for cutting him. He was one of our most skilled footballers. And
can we keep asking Tice a few more questions about me? That's a good answer. That's the best answer
I've
ever
heard. Shocking babysitter, though. Shocking babysitter.
Were you?
Shocking.
No. Well, did you let him run amok?
I only lost a couple.
The youngest one's only just finished his psychological visits to the site. Yeah. He used to cry every time he saw Burnley.
Oh, I do apologise about that.
We love him.
Got a bit rough in the blue room at times.
It did it. It did it. Oh, yeah. We go head over there. Now, Tyce, before we let you go, who do you think will win this one on Saturday?
Looking forward to a cracking game. If both these teams play the way they have been, it's going to be one of the best grand finals I've seen for a while, I think. Yeah, but, okay. I think Melbourne have been the better team all year. The only thing that really concerns me about Melbourne is the one game in 4 weeks. That's a shocking preparation. Yeah. But I think with the hubs and this you know, the crazy COVID scene that we've had the last couple of years, I think clubs have got a bit more used to something different and not having to have the same routine all the time. So I think Melbourne will get it done. And obviously you've got that connection with Goody, and I think he's done a super job since he's taken over. And was it, you know, a little bit of strife there a couple of years ago when things weren't looking great, and they stuck with him, and he's got them playing a great brand of footy. And I think that's the thing that everyone's looking forward to, is both these teams play a great brand. It's going to be attacking, you know, free-flowing game. There's obviously lots of pressure in a grand final, but I think there will be times where it opens up. So I think the D's will get it done, and looking forward to settling down and watching it. And
couple of froths there.
A couple of froths and seeing a big crowd there. And
nice.
And it'll be a cracking game.
I hope
Mate,
you're right.
Thank you for your time, and you've been a great of our football club, the Adelaide Crows, 97-98 Premiership player. Take care, dear, and I'll see you soon.
Good on you, lads. Thanks for that.
There he is, Tyson Edwards, one of our favourites.
I didn't even ask him to lie about me either.
No, but you asked me to ask him about you.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. You said, go and ask him what I was like.
Oh, shut up.
Now, some coaching assistant coaches merry-go-round. It's musical chairs, isn't it, this time of the year?
Yes.
So David Teague's now found a spot.
Yep, he's gone to Richmond. Okay. So under Damien Hardwick. It didn't take long to swoop him up.
Yep.
Highly regarded, though. Tex always talks about how much he loved him at the Adelaide Footy Club as an assistant. So obviously good at that. Couldn't quite go on, but he was probably cut a little bit short. Wasn't given the full contract when he went to Carlton. They cut that a touch short. And now I think they're thinking, geez, I wish we kept him on for a year. But anyway, that's another story.
Before we wrap up, Burn, I want to get your tip to who will win the grand final on Saturday over there. You're going over there to Perth.
I am.
Our boy Tommy Rockcliffe. Now, we know that Port Adelaide, if Michael Voss does get to the Carlton gig, Jared Schofield's now gone back to Western Australia to go with the Eagles. There's two spots available.
Yes.
Would our boy Chunky Lips, bloody Tommy Rockcliffe, will he become a assistant coach at Alberton, or will he go elsewhere?
Chunky Lips.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Instead
of Skinny Lips, he's
Chunky Lips.
Just the other way. Yeah. Okay.
Because he's done a very good job
he spent a lot of time on the bench. Whenever they flicked to the bench anyway, he had the headphones
on. Didn't he?
I don't know if he was just listening to music on his iPod or something.
Engineers from the F1s.
Yeah, he looked important. He was at the airport with those bloody wands. Come in here. Anyway, he made himself look important.
But he'd be a good pickup.
Highly regarded at the club from everyone I speak to. They love him.
We love him.
That's another option. He's got a few options now. That's a good thing when you come out of footy. You got options, Jars.
I don't think he'd
step straight into a midfield role into Michael Voss's shoes if Michael Voss was to leave.
Yeah.
But as a development midfield coach, I think, and that's what we're seeing at clubs now. They spend a bit of time in the development mid role or line role, and then once they've got their work their craft out, they go into the senior role. So I think that'll be something you'd look at.
All right. Who wins grand final?
Well, obviously I spent some time at Melbourne, so the fairy tale would be that Melbourne got over the line. I think they do win. I think they've been the best team or most consistent team. Every team up the top had their little lulls, and the Dogs had theirs real late and end up dropping out of the top four. But I think they've proven these two teams are the best two teams in the comp. Love the way they play. High scoring. Real contested style. I don't think it'll be that high scoring.
No.
We don't see grand finals, but that both really good defensive players around the footy, and geez, they crack in. These are the two of the best contested teams in the comp. The midfield battle is going to be so good.
Yeah.
And I just think, to answer your question, I think Melbourne by about 9 points.
And North Smith medalist?
Clayton Oliver for me, great player around the footy.
Right.
If he can just kick a goal or two as well, might just help him get over the line.
Well, we love this time of the year, so families, enjoy your grand final day on Saturday. Triple M's rocking footy all day, so don't miss the call there. And before I just say goodbye, Burn, from the bump, Dennis Committee, what a superstar he's been. He retires after his last call for Triple M on Saturday, 50 years he's been calling football.
Yeah, last call.
And we love Dennis.
Doing the local call.
Yeah.
Yeah, outstanding.
All right, Bern and family, as we wrap up here, we can finish. You can finish off all your jobs with Marion Sand and Metal. They've got the pavers, Bern, yep. The mulch, the soil, the landscaping. This is all your DNA farm, my friend.
Love it.
They have everything you need, and they can do the work for you, Bern. Marion Sand and Metal, they're open 7 days. They've been great friends of ours, and we appreciate their support.
Just don't forget your trailer, Jazz.
Okay, Bern.